Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once again. Blog Talk Radio Wednesday night, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. It is an honor and a privilege to come before you tonight, and I pray that everything is what you expect. I also would like to thank everyone for calling in and taking time out of their busy schedule. And I'm so elated to be back with you guys, because last week I wasn't here, and it was hard for me. And I'm so glad I'm here now. And I pray that you receive what you gonna receive from the show. As always, it's Wednesday night, and we got the first open up with prayer. And if there's anyone who would like to pray, what you can do is press the one button on your phone, and you could pray, and I'll open up the mic for you. So if anybody would like to pray, you can do so at this time, if you press the one button on your phone. Well, since we have no one pressed, I guess I sound a little funny because there were some things I had to take care of in a studio, and I think I have it all together now. But since we have no button pressed, we got to first give honor to God for allowing us to be back again here on Wednesday night. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer and thank God for allowing us this opportunity. We have to realize in our lives that everything that God allows us to do, it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity that he has given us, that he can get the glory from what we're doing, or what we're going to do in that opportunity. We have to be so careful to not miss the opportunities that God is placing before us. Sometimes it may just be a little word of encouragement from you for someone. Someone, it may be just for you to lend an ear to someone. Sometimes it may be for you to give a word to someone. Sometimes it may be just for a hug. But God presents these opportunities to us, and we have to be careful not to miss them. So saying that, I said I thank God so much for the opportunity to be on the air on tonight. And I thank him so much for allowing us to be together again. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and pray. And after that, we're going to get into the lesson. The night's lesson, for those who have their Bible, is going to get their Bibles. The night lesson is Jesus, Forgive an Adulteress. It's going to come from John, the 8th chapter, the 1st verse through the 11th verse. John, the 8th chapter, 1st through the 11th verse. And it's the title of it is God Forgives an Adulteress. So if you have your Bible, get your Bible. And if you don't have your Bible, well, you could just maybe take notes. But let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear Lord God, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time that you allow us to come together one more time. Thank you where your word will go forward, and I pray that your people be edified, that Satan will be horrified, and you will be glorified. Heavenly Father, I pray that you are in the midst. And Heavenly Father, I pray that your word don't return void. Heavenly Father, I pray that each person that has dialed in, and even everybody that's calling in or looking at it on the internet, dear Lord God, I pray that each and every one of them receive what they're looking for from you. Heavenly Father, bless all of the homes represented in the families and the relationship. Bless the finances, dear God, and bless the health, dear God, and find favor in their life, dear God. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name, for all of our sake. Amen, and thank God. Well, that's our prayer for tonight. And once we have the prayer, I'm going to just give the lesson again for those, because I see other people is calling in now. But the lesson is coming from John, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. The title of the lesson is God Forgives an Adulteress. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and play a song. And once the song is over, we're going to come and I'm going to come back and we're going to get into the lesson. And I pray that everybody be blessed. While we're listening to the song, you know, there's certain things that all of us have to do to contribute to our Bible study. I always say that this is not my Bible study, it's our Bible study. So we should be prayerful, you know, when we come to the Wednesday night Bible study, that God will move in a mighty way. We should be praying for the different people that's on the line, even though you don't know who they are. But because when we come together, we come together as a family of worshipers. We meet every Wednesday night. We are like a ministry, and each and every one of us have a part to play. So as the record goes forward, I'm just asking that you have a prayerful spirit, you know, and then that can guarantee that the lesson will be what God has orchestrated and designed for it to be. So I'm going to play the record right now, and it's that God, the name of the record is God Has a Master Plan. That's something that we should believe, that God has a master plan, that he planned before the foundation of the world. And God's plan is real and it's perfect, and it had you in mind. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and play the song.
You're gone.
Sam. Welcome back. I'm so glad to be with you guys. I pray that everything go well tonight. There's something that's happening in the studio, and I don't know if it's going to affect us tonight. If it don't, we'll keep going. But if it does, and I happen to cut off, wait 5 minutes, well, not even five, but if I cut off, hang up and wait a couple of minutes and then call back and you'll be back on. So I don't know if it's going to affect us or not, but we're going to go ahead in Jesus' name with the lesson. The lesson tonight is God forgives an adulteress, and it's coming from John, the 8th chapter, 1 through the 11th verse. You know, we always do a background on somebody, and we're going to use the book of John, the Gospel of John, as our background. One of the things I want you to know that the Gospels, there's four Gospels in the book, and Gospel, the definition of Gospel means good news. So when we say the Gospel, we saying it's the good news of what? The good news of Jesus Christ. And each one of the Gospels was written by a Gospel writer. And if you have a Bible that has notations and things in it, and you may never notice, and if you do this tonight, you will see the top of the, in, when you go to the Gospel, say like if you go to the Gospel of John, on the top of the Bible, on the top of the book, it's going to say the Gospel according to John. So there's four Gospels, and when they say the Gospel according to John, they're saying that this is how John decided to write his experience and the things he witnessed of Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ walked on earth and had his ministry. So the Bible says the Gospel according to John, the Gospel according to Luke, according to Matthew's, and so on like that. So tonight we're going to do the Gospel according to John. It was an amazing thing all my life when I was reading the Bible. I used to read the Gospels. I might read Matthew's, then I read Mark, then I read Luke, and then I read John. And it always made me wonder why when I read these four books, some of the same thing that was in another book was in this book, and some of the things that was in that book was in that book. And I pondered on it a lot. And one day I turned and opened my book, and it says the Gospel according to whoever had written it. And it made sense to me, because even though some of the things in all, may be in all four books, some may be in three, but, you know, all of the disciples wasn't with Jesus when everything was happening. So they may not recorded it in a book. And because whatever their intention for their writing may not, they may, you know, just didn't include it. But some Gospels, all four of them have something. Some of them have three. Some of the Gospels only is, you know, special events or things is only mentioned by that writer. So that's just a little bit on the Gospels. But it's four Gospels. God inspired four different men with four different backgrounds, with four different cultures to write the book. Why? Because he didn't want to leave anybody out. He didn't want to leave anybody out. One wrote to the Greek, one wrote to the Jews, one was the humanistic side, who is Luke for being a physician. God wanted to show you that, you know, to let the doctor explain how Jesus could really be all man and all God. But the Gospel of John represents a marvelous testimony of Jesus Christ, and it's the purest and the most elevated views of God to be found anyway, the Gospel of John. Far exceeding the speculation of philosophers, John's Gospel contains a record of the Savior's profound discourse, his most convincing arguments with the Jews, and of his declaration respecting himself and God. The Gospel of John has been received down through the ages as being the truth of God, divine revealing that Jesus is the Son of God and is the Lord of Lords. You see, the author of the book is John, and he was an apostle, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He's also known as the son of Zebedee. And why they say the son of Zebedee is because they had so many people named John in the Bible, and this would, you know, would distinguish him from that. Sometimes you see when they say a character in the Bible, the son of, or something like that, they're trying to let you know because there'd be more, there's probably more than one. And he had a brother. They sometimes say John, the brother of James, and not James, Jesus' stepbrother, but James. And they called John and James the sons of thunder. John also wrote the first and second book of John, and was used by Jesus Christ to write the book of Revelation. And we all know that the book of Revelation is a book about Jesus, by Jesus. He chose to have John to be the one to write it, and he brought John around and told him what to write and how to write it and place it in a book. And I just want to make a correction because it just came to me. John also wrote the first, second, and third book of John and was used by Jesus Christ to write Revelation. The Gospel of John different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke Gospel, and where it has no record of Jesus' genealogy. And sometimes people say, wait, can I find a genealogy of Jesus? Well, tonight you know it cannot be found in John, because John didn't deal with the genealogy of Jesus. He didn't deal with Jesus' birth or his childhood. He didn't deal with a lot of miracles or parables of ascension of Jesus going to heaven, or either the Great Commission. See, John did not deal with these things. You see, the book of John allows us to see how Jesus deal with individuals. He showed us how Jesus preached to great crowds. It's a lot of teaching going on in the book of John because Jesus was training his disciple. It debated with religious leaders and offered a gift of eternal life to all who believe and receive him. You got to remember, when Jesus come, he was bringing the grace. And you see, the religious leaders were still dealing with the law. Most of the time, Jesus' miracles showed his power in other books. But in the book of John, John uses the things that Jesus did to show who he truly was. And there was always signs for teaching. Get that. The book of John's not going to have a lot of miracles. It's not going to have a lot of parables. John was the one that was used and chosen to show us who Jesus really is. You know, the book of John starts with in John 1 and 1 that say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That's what we use, and that's where our faith is founded and believed on, that Jesus and God is the same. You see, examples of the woman at the well, when he used that in his writing, he was using that to say Jesus is living water. He used the things that John wrote about, talked about what Jesus did and what it was explaining about him. You know, when he fed 5,000, when you read the book of John, John is going to let you know, yeah, he fed 5,000, but he was trying to show you that he is the bread of life. You see, this lesson tonight begins after Jesus had explained who he was. Remember, Jesus' ministry did not break forth till after he was baptized by John the Baptist. And then Jesus started his journey, his ministry. And we know that it only lasted 3 years. So you see, tonight's lesson begins after Jesus had explained to the people who he was, that he was the living word. And there was a testimony from John the Baptist when he was baptized, because they said a heaven opened up and then it's a dove, something in the symbolization of a dove ascended. And God said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. See, all of this had happened. And then Jesus started his ministry, and he selected his disciples. And then Jesus came, and he turned water into wine. All this in the book of John, and I'm leading up to this 8th chapter. And then Jesus had an encounter with Nicodemus, and then after that he met the woman at the well, and then he held the lame at the pool of Bethesda, and then he walked on water, and he fed 5,000. And then after that, when we get to the 6th chapter and things like that, we see that Jesus did all of this and the people still wasn't satisfied. And when Jesus began to say some things that they couldn't comprehend, most of his disciples left them. Now, I'm not talking about the 12 disciples, but when Jesus was teaching and preaching, people were following him, and they was disciples because they was following him and they was in his fold. But when he started teaching, you know, long as he was doing miracles and feeding 5,000, everybody was all right. But when he started teaching, and if it was something they didn't comprehend or they didn't want to comprehend at that time, they all had left him. even after seeing and hearing and had received all that Jesus had done. And in the seventh chapter, his half-brothers, who didn't believe in him, began to debate him. And this brings us to our lesson tonight. You see, the accusers of the adulterous woman were citing the law of Moses to provoke Jesus. They called him teacher, asking him whether it would be right to stone her. They were aware of his mercy and his love for sinners and were curious to see how he would handle the case. You see, according to the Mosaic law, which was crystal clear, they wanted to see just what he would do. They intended to show that he was teaching on God's merciful love and he was contradicting the law. Punished the sin of adultery by stoning. They wanted to see what he was going to do. You see, if he let the woman go who was caught in adultery, it would be said that he has transgressed the precepts of Moses because she had committed the sin. They say she was caught in the act. So they wanted to see what he was going to just, you know, let her go or whatever, because then he would be contradicting the law. You see, and if he condemned her, it would be said that he was inconsistent with his message of love. Come on now. You see, on Calvary, by the supreme sacrifice of his life, the Messiah will seal for every man and every woman the infinite gift of God, pardon, mercy, and love. You see, now, when as we go into the eighth chapter, we're going to start in a verse. I just wanted to give you some background. And these Pharisees and Sadducees that came to Jesus, they was using something to try to set him up. You know, have you ever been in a situation where somebody asks you a question they already know the answer? Or they know your views about this question, if it was really stated, would get you in trouble, but yet they try to bring it out you? You know, it's like they setting you up for failure. Well, that's what these people were doing. And as we start this lesson tonight, 8 chapter 8, 1 through 11, we'll see how it unfolds. And if we go to John and I read the 8th chapter, the first, second, and third verse, it reads as follows. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them, and he taught them. And three, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they had gotten a lady. They really did catch her in an act of adultery. They came in the temple. They brought and put her in the midst. And in the fourth verse, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. So we don't have to guess if they saw it or if they really knew. In the very act. And five says, now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what thou sayest about it. Now this is what they presented to Jesus. They caught the lady. And you see, when we start this scripture, you see Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And what I told you before, Jesus was teaching and doing some things and you know, turning the wine and the water. And he just was working. But here we see that in the second verse, they say early in the morning, he was back in the temple. He didn't take no break, no time out, say, I'm too tired, because he had a mission to do. And he was going to do it at all costs. You see, we see here that Jesus got up early after a long, hard day. Jesus is back in the temple early in the morning, and all the people were coming, and he was continuing to teach. Jesus was serious about the assignment that God had given him, and he knew his time was short-lived. Here, the scribes and the Sadducees, y'all know who the scribes and the Sadducees is. They was the Jewish leaders, and they were supposed to be the knowledgeable ones about the Bible. And, you know, Jesus called them hypocrites, and they knew all of the law, but they didn't know how to love. And Jesus would always have discrepancies and dealings with them. But the scribes and the Pharisees came. And the reason they came, because the things that I told you that Jesus had done in the earlier chapters, he turned water into wine. That got a lot of recognition. And you see, people who is in it for themselves, they want all of the glory to be coming to them. And the Bible teaches us about us trying to boast about what I did what I can do. So Jesus was already getting notoriety in a sense. But then we see the first, second, third, fourth chapter, they loving him. The sixth chapter, they left him, and he still got to go on and do what his father wanted him to do. So the Pharisees and you know, the Sadducees came to really trick him. You see, they brought this adulterous woman. Now watch this. But obviously not to justify the law. They wasn't so concerned if Jesus was going to go against the law. They was setting him up. You know, and how can we say that? They weren't trying to justify the law, because guess why? If so, they would have also brought the man. Come on now. You see, he had broken the law just as much as she did. You see, the law required that both be stoned to death. And if you want to look at it, it's in Leviticus 20 chapter in the 10th verse. Now, that's what the law really said. So if they was about the right thing, they would have brought the man and the woman. But it wasn't about the woman, and it wasn't about the man. It was all about getting Jesus to be tricked and fall up, because they're ready to take him out. This is leading up to his persecution and his prosecution and his dying, and they trying to justify themselves to be able to get rid of him, because they didn't like anyone taking away their glory. You see, they were simply using a woman as a trap, hoping to trick Jesus. The Romans didn't permit the Jews to carry out their own execution. So, come on now. So they was hoping to trick him. See, the Roman did not permit the Jews to carry their own execution. So if he had ordered her stoned, they would have reported him to the Romans. Come on, look at that. And if he had said she should not be stoned, they would accuse him of breaking Moses' law. Now tell me, they asked him this question, how can he win? They didn't like him. They didn't like what he was teaching, because they wanted to kill him, because they said it was blaspheme against God. They wanted to get rid of him. But yet they go to him and ask him a question, and they call him teacher. And they want to see what he's going to say so they could get something else against him. You know, this sounds like to me the same thing that's happening with President Barack Obama. You know, it's damn if he do and damn if he don't. If people are looking for a reason to accuse you of wrongdoing, no matter what you do, it would never, ever be enough. No matter how smartly you do it, no matter how good you do it, if they out for you, they out for you. And that's what was happening to Jesus. And then when we get to the sixth verse, it reads, they said, tempting him. Now, when they say tempting him, that means they was testing him. And look how I read, this they said, tempting him, which meant testing, that they might have to accuse him. But look, hallelujah, look what Jesus do. The scriptures say, but Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. You know, sometimes we have to ignore people. We have to ignore the things that people do. We have to ignore the things that people say. And we have to realize that don't mean we copping out. But everything don't deserve an answer, because sometimes no matter how you answer, it's going to be, you know, not going to be what they want, and it can get you up. You know, like they say in a criminal thing, to hold your voice, you know, your peace, don't be talking and talking, because what you be saying could incriminate you. Look what Jesus did. He wrote on the ground, and he act like he didn't even hear him. That's the scripture. That's not me. And verse 7 says, so when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Jesus is a bad boy. Jesus knows just what to do and what to say and when to say it and how to say it. We'll never be Jesus, but we could take and live from his examples. Because like I tell you all the time, everything in the Bible is either showing you what to do or what not to do. And a general rule of thumb is if you learn from somebody else's mistakes, or if you could see someone else's successes and you could learn from it, it'll probably save you from mistakes and it'll probably help you to get the success you are seeking for faster. You see, we aren't told what, if anything, Jesus was wrote in the dust with his finger. You see, some see this connection when God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger, but there's no scripture to show us that this is true. There is no reason to debate. And there are people who do it, which is foolish. Watch this. I'm saying there is no reason to debate what he may have written or to think if it was mistakenly left out of the scriptures. You see, we are taught by the word of God that we should only deal with what is written. And you got to remember, everything is not for us to understand. And the Bible teaches we may and we will understand by and by. You see, this is a tremendous statement about being judgmental towards not only the adulterous woman, but all sinners. You know, Jesus said the sinless were worthy of casting the first stone. He said only the sinless was worthy to cast the first stone. Now, that was deep. You see, while we as Christians cannot condone sin, we are not to be quick to pass judgment. That is God's role. It is not ours. We are to show forgiveness and compassion. It is not easy, but it is an example of how the church is supposed to operate. We have to. You see, Jesus didn't condemn the sin, and I'm going to show you why. If you go to the 8th verse, and it reads, again and again, he stood down, and he wrote on the ground again. And then 9, then those who heard it, after Jesus made the statement, he wrote on the ground, act like he didn't hear him, rose up, asked them without sin, cast the first stone. After he said that, he stooped back down, verse 8 said, and 9, all those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one. I'm reading scripture. It's not me now. Then those who heard it being convicted by their consciences went out one by one, beginning with the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now, can you picture that? Can you realize that when it was all said and done? Jesus and the lady was what? The last one standing. You know, when you go into conflict with people, you should be the last one standing, because plenty of times situations come in our lives and the way we handle it, we could really mess things up, because, you know, it's said that, you know, sometimes you could win the battle but lose the war, and sometimes you could lose the war but win the battle, but you got to be smart enough to be the last one standing. You see, Jesus and the woman, after that was said, them men left. I ain't going to say they had their head down because the Bible doesn't say it. But each one of them left one by one. And before you know it, it was nothing but Jesus and the lady. So only the adulterous woman was standing before him now. And you see, Jesus once again seemed to write something on the ground. And again, we aren't told what it may be. Jesus said, to the people when he did this, to pass the first stone, and then no one could do it. And so now, Jesus and the lady, like I said earlier, was the only one standing. You see, don't you think they all knew they were in the wrong to start with? you know, was they, did they just see that they couldn't pass the stone, or they saw that their intentions was not in the right place and fell under conviction by the words and the presence of Jesus? Or do you think the older men were wiser in the scriptures, or perhaps more aware of their sins than the younger men? Or do you think it was both? And, you know, think about it. You know, because usually when I know when y'all go to Bible study, we have Bible study on Monday, you get your scriptures, you read your scriptures. You know, it said that when you receive the word from God and when you go into study and you go to church, the words and the teaching that you get, you're supposed to meditate on it. You know, this 8th chapter, I'm only going to the 11th chapter, so there's many more chapters in the book. I try to give you an illustration and a breakdown of what had happened in the first 7 chapters, but you know, that's a lot of writing, and I gave you a gist. Figure it out for yourself. I pray after the night you'll know when you're looking for something about Jesus, and it's maybe about who he really is and what he really came to do, that you visit the book of John. And, you know, wonder why they left, you know, because if you read the other gospels and it's in there, they might give a little more answer. But that's why, the word of God said that we all should study to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You have to study it for yourself. You have to be able to get some insight for yourself, because, you know, there's power in the word of God. There's strength in the word of God. You know, when all things is not going on in your life and you could say a word that you know God is going to show up in the midst of the storm for your life, that's where the strength comes from. The strength is in the word of God. It's not in you. God's strength, God's peace, God's joy, God's long-suffering, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, and God's grace is found in the word of God. And if we look at the 10th verse, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" And 11th verse says, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You see, right here we see that this is an example how Jesus forgives all sins. He did not condemn the adulterous woman to death, because we know early the law that was in effect. And you got to know, grace had not came. Hallelujah. Remember, they were under the law. Grace hadn't came, because grace came through Jesus' burial, death, and resurrection. Jesus had not died that grace may abound. Not the saving grace. So she was condemned to death according to the law. But you see, this is how Jesus forgave all sins. He did not condemn the lady to death, nor did he say that since he had come, her adulterous deeds were no longer a sin. You see, he acknowledged that it was a sin. He forgave her, but he acknowledged that it was a sin. You see, on the contrary, he openly revealed her sin when he told her to go and sin no more. You see, Jesus realized that based upon the law of God, this woman had committed a sin that required the death sentence. Jesus knew that, and he couldn't overlook that. God said he cannot overlook sin. And if he overlooks sins, he will no longer be God. But Jesus, being God, had the authority to forgive this woman's sin, which he did. Still, follow me now, still the death sentence for this woman was a commandment of God that had to be carried out. And not even Jesus could break the commandment. But you see, when Jesus said he forgave her sins, he knew he was fixing to go on the cross. And he knew that grace would be available for everyone who would believe. So he knew what he did on the cross would give her life. You see, in the book of Job, when he used things, you know, like this, he's teaching us a lesson. See, she had a sin, and he forgave her, and he gave her life instead of death through his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, because in a short time after he met her, Jesus died for her. He died in her place on the cross, totally fulfilling the requirements of the law on her behalf. And see, the law, how did he fulfill the requirements of the law? The law said for sin you had to make a sacrifice. And because Jesus came to save all mankind, he was going to be one man sacrifice for all mankind. And nobody could do it but God. And that's why God allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh, coming human, so that he could save all mankind. And once there was a sacrifice, it had fulfilled the requirements of the law. And Jesus said, I'm going to be that one, that perfect sacrifice that's going to take all of the sins of the world away. You see, we seem to forget about the things that we have done in our lives. Some of us, and I didn't say y'all, I said we, sometime. We seem to forget about the things that we have done or is doing in our life. I say or is doing in our lives. You know, we are so happy when God grant us mercy. Come on now. We want mercy for our children. We want mercy for ourselves. We want mercy for our friends. We want God to have mercy on who we want God to have mercy on or who we love. We ready for that. We happy about that. But you see, mercy and grace shouldn't only be something that you want to receive, but it should be something that you are willing to give. To who, you might ask? To anybody that needs it, people you like and people you don't like, people you don't even know. Do you ever look at the news and they had that thing on there where them five people died, and I guess I didn't catch all of it, but I don't think her husband died. And, you know, I'm sure that, the ladies had sisters and maybe brothers and, you know, all these kind of things. Did you pray for their family? Do you ask for mercy and grace to be with them to go through something, this tragedy? Or do you only want when somebody, something happened in your life that you want this grace? Or you want this mercy? Remember, it's not something, you got to, you know, we have to stop just looking for grace and mercy for us, towards us by God, and not willing to give it towards mankind. You see, God mercy, you know, a lot of people don't understand, and they wonder if mercy and grace is the same thing. And if it's not the same, then, well, and you might say, well, then, Sister Diane, what is the difference? Mercy and grace isn't the same thing. It's not the same thing. And then we're going to do this a little bit because, you know, God, let me just tell you this. And if y'all got a pencil, you could write it down, but listen real closely. God's mercy is holding back the punishment we deserve. Okay, how do this apply to the lesson? The lady was an adulteress. She was caught in the act. God forgave, Jesus Christ forgave her. That's mercy. He had mercy on her. Why? Because he was holding back the punishment that she deserved. She had committed the act. You know, that's why plenty of times soon something, things happen, people say, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, sometimes you be done did something, you know you ain't had no business to do, and it might be exposed and things like that. That's when you ask for mercy, because something was really done. And something, you know, you asking God to hold back the judgment, to hold back the punishment that you deserve, Come on now. God's God's mercy is holding back the punishment we deserve. And when we think about mercy, mercy was first granted at the cross, was first granted because, you see, we was destined to die because of sin. And when God sent his son Jesus, that was mercy. You see, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the thing, it's the mercy that allows us not to receive the punishment or the judgment that we should have, which would be eternal death. But because of God's mercy, he sent his son, and through Jesus Christ, which is grace, we receive mercy. I hope y'all got that, and if you didn't, press the button, we'll make another lesson. But God's mercy is withholding the punishment we deserve. Now let's look at grace a little bit. You see, grace is God's blessing towards us that we don't deserve. You know, Jesus Christ died, and we received the gift of grace, which allows us to turn in life, but we didn't deserve it. We didn't do nothing to get it. It's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that we have it. So mercy is holding back the punishment, and grace is given. Mercy is holding back, and grace is given. How could you lose with that? Something holding back everything bad, and grace is giving everything good. That's what God is doing for his people and the lives of his people. Catch up, understand, and then we could praise him the way we want. We could pray to him the way we should. We could give him reverence in all time because God got it. The song that I played early, God has a master plan, and you included in it. We got to learn to rest and just be patient and do the things that God has put in our hand. God is constantly molding us to his intended purpose, but we have to cooperate with him. We're not even cooperating. He's not even asking you to do too much, and you can't even cooperate with just sometimes being still. You see, grace is God's riches at Jesus' expense. You see, mercy held back the punishment she deserved, and grace gave the gift of life that she could never deserve, because both are gifts and they're gifts from God. And I'm going to tell you, in no man should ever boast. See, God didn't want y'all to do too much, not y'all, but us. He didn't want us to do nothing in the plan of salvation. He didn't want us to do much in this. He didn't want us to do much of that because he knew our nature. If we did one thing and we did it right, we would boast, boast, boast. God said, when it's all said and done, I want you to know it was me, myself, and I. Me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we created the world. Before the foundation of earth, we made a master plan. We brought it through. We took care of sin. We delivered the children. He said, we, not you. So God didn't give us all of these tasks and everything so we could get the big head. And we can't even just submit and obey. You see, the adulterous woman's sins were forgiven by the Almighty God, never to be remembered again. Complete forgiveness and eternal life with him. What a wonderful plan for salvation through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And as I close tonight, this lesson is teaching us about forgiveness and being judgmental towards others. There's so much of that in the world today. You know, plenty of people look at Christians and they look at us as a joke because we compromise. We lackadaisical. We show up when we want. We think we afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. You know, God has given us certain guidelines, and some people don't follow none of them. You know, and I'm not saying nobody's perfect. And, you know, they really think they know God. They really think that they're pleasing him. But they can't even tell you three things that they're doing that please God. God said what he wants us to do. God say what we should do. But people do anything they want, any kind of way they want, and they really believe they're all right with God. And if you take time and realize all that God has done for you, you should be trying to do something for him. You see, many times other people's sins and shortcomings are seen by us, are brought to our attention by others. You see, many sins that are brought to the light, you know, that's the outward sins that you could see. You know, they're the easiest one for us to judge. Because, you know, you could see that, you know, they may be, whatever, doing drugs. The lady's on the corner, so you know she's a prostitute. You know, they're easy to judge because that's the ones you could see. But what about the ones that we have in our lives that's secret? And I mean secret because, you know your heart is full of gossip. You know you have drama everywhere you go. You know you're causing confusion. You know, when I say secret, you know how you don't love people. You know the people you ain't forgave. You know people who you're doing wrong to. You see, but the ones that we could see is the ones that's easy to judge. But what about us? And we have to look at ourselves. You know, the rule of thumb is when you point one finger out to somebody, you got four pointing back at you. And the Bible says, take the mote out of your eye. Take the splinter out of your eye. You know, take the splinter. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. The Bible says, take the beam out of your eye before you can take the splinter, the little thing out of somebody else's eye. You know, judge yourself. Look at yourself. You see, we often say so casually, girl, you know, we need to pray for her. That we say it casually, but that's what God has ordered for us to do. But we say that, I don't know about y'all, but have you ever said that? And ain't no more prayer for that person than a man in the moon? And you might have didn't take time to pray, but you took a little time to judge. And we got to stop saying that casually, but that's what's in place for us to do for one another. You see, let's remember this too. Sin is sin. And we should stop labeling some sins more sinful than others. We get that all the time. To me, in the world we live in, it's almost as if people believe that, and I'm just being hypothetical, I'm not judging it one way or another, so, but people believe that homosexuality is the only abomination unto God. Like, that's the biggest sin, that's abomination, and everybody do that going to hell. Sin is sin. And what we should do, pray for them. That's simple, huh? We saw the story tonight with the lady who was adulteress. We knew what judgment should have been dead, and we know what Jesus did. If Jesus allowed Jonah to write this in a book, this is what he wants us to do. Have mercy and give grace toward one another and pray for one another, no matter what state they're in. You just done got a little bit over, you know, some of us has just got a little bit in the Word of God. And not we all that in a bag of chips. Everybody receive it at their own time. Can you be patient and wait and pull the other one up? Or you done got so good you don't want to touch that? Everything, all of the knowledge that God has given you is for you to be able to use it and help someone else. If you're going to sit down and learn the Word of God and not going to do it, what good is it going to do? We see somebody falling in sin, we should pray for them. And if you read the Word of God, you know that. You know, the Bible said that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So just let us start praying for one another in love and give mercy and grace freely towards our brothers and sisters. And I should have said all our brothers and sisters, because I know so many people can't do nothing unless it's somebody in their family. I know some people can't do nothing unless it's somebody they like. I know some people ain't going to do nothing unless somebody did something for them. But I'm saying all, A-L-L, the people down the street, the people up the road, the people on the news, the lady whose son gets shot down, and even a lady whose son shot the son that got shot down. That's a lady with a child. You know how I feel. Pray for her. The president that's having struggles on the side, the country, pray for it. The city of New Orleans, our boys are being killed up on the street. Pray for them. That's our job. And Jesus not only died for the sins of this woman, but for all who seek his plan of salvation. even to this day, even today, we can receive forgiveness and eternal life because, like the adulterous woman, Jesus' death on the cross fulfilled the law on our behalf. And that's the lesson for tonight. And I pray that it was something that you could use. I pray that you understand the book of John a little bit better. I pray that, you know, that the Holy Ghost illuminate and revelate something to you. I pray that you meditate on it. I pray that you maybe visit the book of John and look at some of the earlier chapters and catch up, you know, and maybe one day we'll start in the book and just do the whole book. But I'm just trying to encourage you to check it out. Check the book of John out and see what God has inspired, because you know the Bible is 66 books, and is a New Testament chapter and an Old Testament chapter and a New Testament. The Old Testament had 39 books and the New Testament had 27 books, and all of it was inspired by God but written by man for correction, reproof. So I'm just telling you, check it out. Check it out. It's really good. Believe me. And if anybody have any questions or anything they could add to this lesson, I welcome it wholeheartedly. As I always say, I don't know everything. And y'all should get tired of hearing my voice sometime and want to hear from somebody else. But just the lesson for the night. And if anybody would like to make any comments, you could definitely press the 1 button on your phone. If anyone is listening on the internet, you have to dial a call-in number, which is 1-347-945-7659. And when you call that number, you could press the 1 button, and your phone will be open, and you'll come straight in the studio. So if anybody would like to make a comment, add anything to the lesson tonight, you can definitely do so right now. Right now it's 9:29. I always try to stop in 1 hour. I will go ahead and do a benediction prayer, and always remember there's blessings in a benediction. You know, some people leave before it's time. And I'm not saying about you callers, because y'all always stay on the line, but sometime in church, soon before the benediction, people jump and get up. But I just want you to know, that's just another little tidbit for you. There is blessings in a benediction. In a benediction. So would anyone like to pray the closing prayer tonight? You could press the 1 button on your phone. I want to thank you guys, because we have so many callers that came in, and I am so grateful and elated to be back tonight. I was off last week, and I really miss you guys so much. You know, it was hard for me, and I thank God for the opportunity, and I'm glad to be back with you guys. And I'm glad you came, you know, y'all came back. And I got a lot of calls last week for some people who didn't get the message that we wouldn't be on, and they was concerned about what happened. But tonight we're in full force. And because of that, I thank God. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule and come, and we join together and we explore the word of God together. And it is a blessing, and I don't take it lightly. And to each and every one of you, I say thank you. And at this time, I'm going to do the closing prayer. And after that, I will begin to play the music. Some of the callers have stated that they really enjoy the music after the program. And I let the music play as long as there's still people on the phone. And if you want us to do a special topic in our Bible study, you could press the 1 button, maybe not today, but you may think about it, and next week you want to press the 1 button and let us know of a lesson that you would like to be discussed, or if you have questions about a certain thing, a certain area, you want to, you know, whatever you would want to do, you can, you know, ask us, and we'll send a lesson around that particular subject. So just keep all that in mind, because, again, I tell you, it's not my Bible study, it's our Bible study. And everybody can have a voice. So right now we're going to go to the throne of grace with the benediction prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, and I just want to thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for each and every one that you allowed and pressed on their heart to call into the Bible study. I pray that the word that went forth, dear God, will not return void. I pray that they will meditate on it day and night, and the hands of Satan don't come and snatch it from them, because you know they say if you don't use it, you'll lose it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lesson that was written in the book of John, and I thank you for Jesus Christ being our teacher, and I thank you for letting him be our Lord, and I thank you for letting him be our Savior, and I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. Heavenly Father, be with us and guide us as we go through the week. Let us all, if it's your will, return back on Wednesday, and let us be met at the throne of grace where your word can go forth in a mighty way. Heavenly Father, I ask you all of these blessings and others in your darling son Jesus' name. Be with us, dear God. Grant us mercy and grace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. And at this time, I'm going to put the music on, but if someone has decided that they would like to say something, what you can do is press the one button, and I'll still be able to open the mic, and you can still come in the studio. So I'm going to put a song on, and I'll just play as long as I can see people still in the studio. But I just want you to say that God loves you, and so do I, and may the joy of the Lord be always in your life. I know plenty of people getting ready for the holiday, but just realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. And thank you. God loves you, and so do I.
God has brought you from. You don't really understand
it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I've come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
At my lowest.
You cannot imagine.
The strongholds and the walls that
I've been carrying. But God has been faithful.
God has been faithful to me.
He promised.
He promised he would never leave
me. My story.
My story proves that God can do me.
Deliverance
is my
I'm
bringing me out. You think you know, but let me tell it.
Life and favor on me.
God, thank you for your mercy.
God of mercy.
And you love me.
Life and favor upon me.
Oh, how wondrous. God is my story.
Upon me.
You wouldn't believe my real testimony. Can't imagine. Some people, they walked out on me and they gave up on me, said I wouldn't make it, but God broke me out.
All the things I've gone
through. If you only knew, you'd understand why I praise like this. Come on, can we take it up?
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, faith. Come on and lift your voice. The whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Our program for the night. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. Thank you so much for joining in on Wednesday, and God loves you, and so do I. And if the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Wednesday night, same time, same station. Be blessed and take the time to bless someone else. Amen, and thank God.